Hello, this is Dr. David Friedman, host of To Your Good Health Radio. Did you know that every single day your mind processes 70,000 thoughts, an internal voice calling the play-by-play of your life? But here's the startling truth, 80% of those thoughts are negative. Gloom outpaces happiness by a ratio of 5 to 1. Now think about that. For every fleeting moment of joy, there's a tidal wave of worry, doubt, and fear crashing in. As the proverb says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. What if you could change the narrative and tame those runaway thoughts and replace them with truth, hope, and peace? Joining us today is Max Lucado, beloved pastor and New York Times bestselling author. His latest book, Tame Your Thoughts, shares with us how to avoid UFOs, untruths, false narratives, and overreactions. Whether you're battling anxiety, guilt, rejection, or dissatisfaction in your life, don't go anywhere. Today, you're going to discover how to break free from the thoughts that hold you captive and step into the life that God designed for you. This inspiring conversation starts now.
It's To Your Good Health Radio with number one best-selling author and renowned wellness expert, Dr. David Friedman, changing lives just for the health of it.
Joining us next is world-renowned pastor, speaker, and number one best-selling author who, in his own words, writes books for people who don't read books. With over 150 million copies sold in more than 50 languages worldwide, his message resonates deeply with people across the globe. He serves as a pastor at Oak Hills Church in San Antonio, Texas, where his sermons are crafted with one guiding question: what can I say on Sunday that will still matter on Monday? His heart for practical, life-changing wisdom shines through his writing, which blends storytelling, humor, and compassion. He's been called America's pastor by Christianity Today and the best preacher in America by Reader's Digest. He speaks to the hurting, the guilty, the lonely, and the discouraged. His new book is called Tame Your Thoughts, 3 Tools to Renew Your Mind and Transform Your Life. Welcome to the show, Max Lucado.
That is the kindest introduction I think I have ever received. If you could see my face, David, you'd see I'm blushing. How thoughtful of you. Thank you. And thank you so much for allowing me the privilege of having these minutes with you.
So great to have you join us. Like I said, I'm a big follower and I love your work. For sure, what inspired you to write Tame Your Thoughts? What was actually the catalyst for your thinking about thinking?
Well, there are two answers to that. One is just the overwhelming statistics that we're seeing about the problem of mental health in our society. You've seen the numbers, you know, 42% of adolescents say they live under a pervasive sense of sadness. 22% say they've actually contemplated suicide in the prior 6 months, which is just tragic. That's the season of life. We should be having fun, making friends, and developing our dreams. We grown-ups are not doing much better. Anxiety's at an all-time high. Depression is soaring off the charts. And so I really wanted to see if I could assemble some thoughts that would help us in our church. And those were well received. And so I approached the publisher and we decided to turn it into a book. The second reason, though, David, is I'm 70 years old and I'm at that season of life where I'm thinking, I'm in good health. My cognitive abilities are still at least decent. What do I want to say while I still have the opportunity to say it? And this whole idea of managing our life by managing our thoughts has been a part of my life. It's just been part of my world. I really think to help pastor people and to help them have happier, healthier lives, we need to think about what we're thinking about. And so that was the second reason. I wanted to capture thoughts about thoughts while I still can.
Yeah, awesome. I love your book, very well written. And, you know, I personally believe the reason that so many people fail to reach their God-given potential is because really they get stuck in these safe routines. They're comfortable. Oh, they're held back by fear or maybe past failures or the voices of naysayers. I think they all just come at us. Could you share some insights on how we can overcome this stinking thinking and break free to pursue our full given God potential?
I agree with you 100%. The reason that we don't reach our full potential is because of that naysaying voice that continues to pull us back. And so dealing with that inner critic, with that endless loop of negativism or doubt or guilt is absolutely essential. Now, I think the Holy Spirit empowers us to deal with these negative thoughts. And through the years, I've developed these three tools that I've used in countless conversations, sometimes formal counseling, most of the time just hallway chit-chats. Somebody's feeling down or they're feeling stuck. And I always go back to these three tools. And let me do the super short elevator version of them. Tool number one is practice picky thinking. I tell people just because you have a thought, you don't have to think it. And I know that sounds basic, but many people, they've not discovered that. They've not discovered that they truly can take their thoughts captive. And then I urge them to think about UFOs, and I'm not talking about aliens, but I am talking about thought progression. And that is an untruth left unchecked will turn into a false narrative, and that leads to an overreaction. The overreaction might be a temper tantrum, might be a season of deep sorrow, might be an outburst at someone else. But that overreaction happens because somewhere down the line, there was a lie that we indulged, an untruth. And so I like to talk to people about those UFOs. Let's go back up and let's deal with that untruth. And then the last tool is called uproot and replant. We've got to weed out unhealthy thought patterns and then replace them with healthy thought patterns. And those healthy thought patterns come from Scripture. We get deliberate and say, you know what? I may have worried for the last 50 years, but I'm going to call it quits on worry, and I'm going to begin weeding out those thoughts, and I'm going to replace them with promises of Scripture where God says He'll take care of me. So I have those three tools that I've introduced in the beginning of the book. And then the last 9 chapters of the book, I apply those tools to different toxic thought patterns that we have, David, like anxiety or guilt or greed or just fear of overwhelming challenges. And I put the book together in that sense, hoping that it would be a source of encouragement for the reader.
Yeah, truly. Some Christians, they seek guidance by randomly opening the Bible to a verse and then reading it. Before reading your book, I tried this and I landed on the Proverbs 4:23, where it said, be careful how you think, your life is shaped by your thoughts. And right beside it, Max, was a water stain, the only one in the entire book. Now, unless your publisher purposely made that stain, I'm calling it divine marker.
That is interesting.
It's a little stain right there, now nowhere else in the book. So I don't know if your publisher did it. But you know, when a self-help author says, be careful what you think, that's one thing. But when it's from the gospel, boy, that's transformative.
Yeah, it is. And I'm grateful for those self-help writers. I mean, they've got some practical things. But what we add as believers in Christ is the supernatural ability. Whereas a self-help is literally that, help yourself. We say, no, God will help you. The God of the heavens, the same God who helped David fight Goliath, who helped Peter walk on water, who helped Daniel in the lion's den. That God is alive and well, and He will help you. So I want to be quick to separate from the self-help books to the degree that I'm saying I can't help myself. I need God to help me. And I believe that's a basic tool in our thought management toolkit.
I love that. And as you're saying that, I'm thinking of self-help. Yeah, you can go with self-help or go to the creator of yourself. Who created you? Who was the mechanic? Doesn't he know the answers? You can get on the phone with some of these people, like I'm on the phone with help from my computer and she's putting me on hold. And I know she's looking for the answer somewhere else. She's not the source. You go right to the source.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. We turn to the one who made our brains. And because he can retrain our brains. And that is one of the exciting discoveries that I made. And it's not a discovery I made. It's something I learned in writing this book. And that is how our brains are moldable. They're malleable. They can be shaped. And we're not stuck with our ruts that we've had. We can, through God's help and through neuroscience, teaches us that as we develop, better thought patterns, our brains physically change. They take on different forms. And so I want to caution that person who says, well, I've been a worrier for all of my life, or I've battled bigotry all of my life, or I've assumed the worst all of my life. It's going to be this way till the day I die. Please don't assume that. Please don't assume that. Like the scripture from Proverbs 4 says, be careful how you think, because your thoughts run your life.
So true. And I love how you emphasize the importance of taming our inner critic, but I had a revelation. It's called the devil's advocate, aptly called, right? It's that voice of doubt, of regret. It magnifies failure and disbelief. It's that devil's advocate. How can we effectively silence this relentless what if and turn it into what can mindset that propels us forward?
You are so spot on, David, in mentioning that there is a devil. There is a malicious force, malignant force, and he does mean us evil. When Judas betrayed Christ, according to the Gospel of John, Satan deposited a thought in his mind. He put a thought in his mind. So he wants to do that. He wants to take these thoughts that we have, and he wants to turn them into actions. I recall that when one of my daughters was elementary school age, maybe second, third grade, she really battled thoughts of anxiety. She had trouble sleeping at night. And I would tell her, honey, I say, reach up and grab that thought like you're grabbing something out of your head and pull it out and throw it in the trash. Well, she took me literally, David. I can recall seeing her one day in the house and she was reaching up and she grabbed something like something was in her head and she pulled it out and she threw it in the trash. And I thought, good for you. You're learning how to be a picky thinker. Satan comes with these thoughts of anxiety and fear, gloom and doom, and he wants to master our lives by mastering our thoughts. But Jesus will help us. He will help us. The scripture says that we don't have to be conformed to this world, but we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And sometimes all we need is a simple tool or two or three to help us do this. But the big idea is that God is in the business of transforming our lives, and he does this by transforming our thinking. So I urge people, identify that negative thought pattern. We all have a different one. I had a conversation with a lady just earlier this week, and she mentioned that she's always envisioning health problems. If she gets a headache, she begins to worry about getting a tumor. If she has a bad back, she begins to think, oh, am I ever going to have surgery? These thoughts just take off. And I say, okay, I get it. That's the stronghold in your life. Fear about physical health, that's the stronghold. But you can take that thought captive and you can go to Christ and say, Christ, I agree with you. It's not your will that I be subject to this stronghold, but it seems to have come at me. It's like a thunderstorm over my life. And when you say that to Jesus, when you agree with Jesus, then he will help you. And then as those thoughts begin coming your way, you take them captive. You do what 2 Corinthians 10 says. Take every thought captive. You march it into the presence of Christ. This is the battle that you have to fight. And every time you march that thought into the presence of Christ and you say, Christ, is this from you? And you hear Jesus say, no, I would never put that thought in your brain. Then you kick that thought out. And at first, this takes a lot of practice. But over the days and the weeks and the months, you'll find yourself battling that negative thought loop less and less because you are being transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Yeah, I love that. I remember reading in one of your books, it may have been Anxious for Nothing, that you wrote, the presence of anxiety is unavoidable, but the prison of anxiety is optional. And I love that because we're going to encounter that. That's life. I mean, so what daily shift or mindset can people have to go from panic to peace, even when their circumstances don't change through prayer and they're frustrated?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, first of all, acknowledge that anxiety in a limited degree is helpful. It keeps us from walking into a place where there might be snakes, or it keeps us from making decisions that we shouldn't make. So anxiety in a limited dose is helpful, but anxiety becomes unhealthy when it is the house alarm that you just can't get to shut off, when it just blares over and over and over in your mind. So don't beat yourself up for feeling anxious, but take control of your thoughts so that you won't live in that state of anxiety. Many times in the middle of the night, I will hear my wife talking to herself, and not in a bad way, but in a good way. She will be in that state between sleep and being awake, kind of in that twilight space. And maybe she's having some anxious thoughts. And I will hear her say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And she's just talking to herself. You might say she's preaching to her own soul. She's reminding herself of truths that she believes. And for whatever reason, she's anxious about something. Something is stirred in her spirit and it's caused her to be anxious. And so she's dealing with it by quoting scripture. So I encourage people, follow my wife's example. Equip yourself with a dozen, if that's too many, a half a dozen scriptures, and identify whatever that thought pattern is that you deal with, and find some verses that speak against it, speak to it, and you will find yourself taming that thought. It won't have control over you like it has had in the past.
Yeah, so true. I think so many focus on worst case scenarios, so they're prepared to not get caught off guard, and so nothing bad happens, so they don't get hurt. Oh, I knew that was going to happen. Instead of the best case scenario thinkers, and I think, as you mentioned, the majority of worst case scenarios, oh no, it's going to rain, rather than, you know, it's going to rain. Hey, thank God my plants are going to get watered. Not my plans are ruined.
That's a good way. Yeah, that's a sobering statistic. You read it from the book there. I found it in a research done by the Cleveland Clinic that 4 out of 5 of our thoughts are unhealthy thoughts. That's just disastrous, right? If we're going to have 70,000 thoughts a day and the vast majority are not good for us, hey, let's do better than that, because our thoughts do impact our behavior. And how many adventures have we not gone on? How many apologies have we not offered? How many dreams have gone unrealized because we allowed these anxious negative thoughts to control our lives?
So true. You share another astounding statistic in your book. It's 75 to 98% of our mental, physical, and behavioral illnesses stem from our thoughts. That's profound. Our stinking thinking is literally draining the life out of us. It's making us sick. It's killing us early. My question to you is, can anybody rewire their internal dialogue and embrace strength and resilience instead of self-sabotage at any age? Is it somebody feel, I'm too far gone. I love what he's saying, but my life's just doom and gloom.
No. Don't think for a second that you're too old. Don't give in to the old dog's new tricks scenario. You can change. You can, and you'll be a better person because you do. Because as a believer in Christ, if you said yes to Christ, he said yes, not just to save your soul, but to save your brain. Ephesians chapter 6 urges us to take on the helmet of salvation. There are a variety of armaments we take on, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, but there's also the helmet of salvation. So when somebody says yes to Christ, Christ says yes to them, and he places, metaphorically speaking, a helmet on their brain, a protective covering on their brains, because he wants to protect the way we think, because he knows what Satan is up to. Satan wants to disrupt us by disrupting our thinking. And one of the common thought patterns is, I'm too old. I've always had prejudice. I'll always have prejudice. Or I've not been able to forgive that person. I'm just going to be angry the rest of my life. Hogwash. Don't give in to that thought. God can change you. If he still has you on earth, then he still has you in his hands, and he can bring about change. And when he brings about that change, healing can happen. I didn't know what a microtubule was before I started researching this book, and I'm really not trying to impress anybody with a fancy word, but I learned that a microtubule is a kind of the scaffolding that holds together these pathways through which our thoughts are developed. And as we change our way of thinking, our DNA or our microtubules are restructured. And literally the brain changes. You can literally change your mind. And when a person decides they want to have a better way of thinking, it only takes the brain about 10 minutes to begin remaking, recreating those microtubules. And so our brains begin to have different processes. Synapses that tell us how to act begin to change. You can't see me right now because we're not on video, but I'm wearing a sling because I had shoulder surgery. I had it 4 weeks ago. You know, 4 weeks ago when I started wearing this sling, I could not brush my teeth left-handed. But this morning I did a pretty good job. And that is because it's not as good as my right-handed, but that is because my brain has retrained itself. I've been telling it, we've got to stick with left-handed because my right arm's not doing me much good for another month or so. And the same can be said, David, for our attitudes. We can give up our greed. We can become more generous. We can give up our guilt. We can rely upon grace. We can learn to surrender anxiety and become a person of peace. So let's accept God's invitation to not be conformed to the world, but be transformed. Let our brains be transformed as He renews them day by day.
So true. You know, two powerful phrases in the Bible that deeply touch my spirit are, be still and fear not. And be still reminds us to let go, stop overthinking, trust that God's in control, even during chaos. And then fear not, that's a phrase repeated throughout Scripture, constant reassurance that basically, no matter what we face, we're not alone. My question to you is, how can people use the principles and tame your thoughts to live by those profound words in today's fast-paced, fear-driven world, especially if they're watching the news? Oh my goodness, they live in fear.
Yeah. I do not envy the person who tells me, hey, I've got news on 24/7 in my house. I don't envy that person. In fact, I want to say, and if I'm a close friend, I will say, hey, that's too much. That's too much. You've got to guard your input because we have, unlike our parents and our grandparents who lived with only the news they would read in a newspaper or see in the evening news, you and I live in a world where if we aren't careful, we're besieged by news everywhere we turn, and none of it is good. News organizations, they don't make money. They don't sell advertisements if they're giving us good news, right? They capitalize on the bad news, and they like to stir fear, especially many of the talk shows. They like to assume the worst, and they teach us to think that way. So let's be careful. Let's be very careful. Maybe we need to take a fast, go on a fast from the news that we have. And then also, I think one reason that it's difficult to tame our thoughts is our world is changing so fast, David. You've heard the statistic. Our world has changed more in the last 30 years than in the prior 300. I remember when I was trying to learn how to use a fax machine. I barely got a fax machine down before email came along. I've come to learn email, but now I've got to learn what AI is. Every time I look up, there's some major development that I'm learning. If I don't learn to do that, I'll be out of step with society. So society does move fast, but I love the scripture that you've claimed as your own. Just be still, slow yourself down, calm yourself down. You don't have to run on the treadmill just because everybody else is running. It's okay to step off. Make sure you have those times of silence in the presence of Christ. Tell Him what your anxiety is, what your source of anxiety is. Cast all your cares upon Him because He cares about you. Make sure you have a handful of scriptures you can turn to in whatever situation. And I think you'll find that you can maintain healthy thoughts while the rest of the world is doing just the opposite.
I have a simple meaningful morning ritual that I do when it comes to being still. And after saying goodbye to loved ones far too soon, including my beloved wife, I start each day by placing a finger on my wrist. And you know, that steady pulse, it's a sacred reminder to me, reminds me, quietly affirming that I'm alive and I'm thriving. It's my silent tribute to those that no longer have a pulse. It's my vow to God to honor my gift of life.
I'd love to hear a little bit more of what you learned, David, going through such an uphill challenge like that. Was there something you learned about managing your thoughts during a time of grief?
Yeah, it really was. So times of stress toughness. I literally, still to this day, I put my finger on my wrist and I say, you know, my car broke down, but my engine is still running. I'm blessed. It's not easy for somebody to complain about foot pain after they see a man missing a leg. That's kind of how I look at it. It's like, whatever you're suffering from, just that simple, be still. I be still. I put my finger on my pulse. I go, I got another day. Some people don't have that luxury.
I hear you. And I think that's why that passage is so precious. Be anxious about nothing, but in everything by prayer and petition. And then Paul says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I wonder what made him insert. Well, obviously, it was the Holy Spirit. But there's something about thanksgiving that helps me offset the anxiety of life. I live in South Texas. We were besieged by floods over the summer. And we're living with the devastation of so many lost lives. And about the same time that was happening, I was facing some personal health issues. But nothing, nothing, nothing like what they faced in those times of flood and the stories that came out of the Guadalupe River. And it was much easier for me to say, okay, Locato, get your act together. Don't complain. You have a pulse. You can stand up. You have food on the table. You got friends. Hey, no need for belly aching. There's some good old-fashioned wisdom in what you're telling us, David. Thank you.
I know in your book, you talk a lot about the power of grace and how it can transform lives in ways that we really underestimate. I wondered, could you share like a story or example from your own life or ministry where you witnessed grace breaking through in a maybe a seemingly impossible situation?
Yes, sir. That's my favorite subject. And that is because I'm such a great sinner. I was a drunk when I became a Christian. I battled with alcohol at a very young age. I come from a family of alcoholism. And here I am 50 years later. I became a Christian when I was 20. And at the age of 70, on March 25th of 2025, I celebrated 50 years as a person saved by grace. And to commemorate that, I got a tattoo. I know it's crazy. People say, you're a 70-year-old pastor and you got a tattoo. And I just wanted to commemorate grace. And so I got the Greek word tetelestai, which is the word that is translated, it is finished, when Jesus hung on the cross. He said, it is finished. It's a beautiful word. It really means it is paid or it is complete. And I celebrated the fact that 50 years ago, I agreed with Jesus that it's finished and I don't have to do anything else. I don't have to do anything else. And David, I'll say that I've let God down many times, but he's never let me down. And I'll say that I have had struggles in life, but I've never struggled with guilt because I believed. I threw every hat I own into the ring. I put all my chips on the table. I said, Lord, if you don't fully forgive me, I don't have a plan B because I know what a sinner I am. And I share that story with people because a lot of people do struggle with guilt. It's hard for them to believe that God would forgive them. And I say, well, that's why we call it grace. It's amazing. It's beautiful. It's unique to the Christian story. Every other religion says, do work and hope God saves you. But we believe Jesus did the work and we know he has saved us. And that is such a key in healthy thinking. As Christians, we can confess our sins and know that he is quick to forgive them. So I cherish the whole teaching of grace. And the first thing I do when I get to heaven is say, Jesus, thank you. To tell us you finished what I could not.
I love that. Most people 70, they look back at their life with nostalgia. You honored God with this milestone by looking upward with gratitude and grace and humility. Kudos for you. That's great. You mentioned guilt and shame, and I think that's another barrier people struggle with. They replay past mistakes over and over in their minds like that broken record. We're old enough to know what records are when they used to skip. Because there's dust in the grooves. How can we remove some of that dust in the grooves so that record can go forward? Is there any tip you can leave us with?
Yes, sir. The scripture is very practical here. Confession. Confession your sins to God, and he will quickly forgive your sins. And if necessary, confess your sins to one another. Honey, I was a grump yesterday. I'm sorry. Or kids, I could have been a better dad. I'm sorry. So we confess, we agree with God. That's what confession is. And I put a chapter in the book about confession because I do think it's such a practical tool. You don't have to carry those regrets anymore. Confess them. Christ is quick to forgive. And people love an honest person. Disarm people by your honest confession, and you'll be able to move on.
Fantastic. And the minute or two we have left, is there anything else you'd like to share with the listeners we didn't touch on today?
I think you should write a book on how to conduct a great interview. You've done a splendid job. Thank you so much. And I really appreciate it.
I appreciate that so much. And then, yeah, I want to thank you for joining. Like I said, I've been a longtime fan, and it was a pleasure having you on the show. And for all those listening, I love the book. I want you to get it. It's called Tame Your Thoughts, 3 Tools to Renew Your Mind and Transform Your Life. Easy read. You know, if you don't like to read, super great read. You'll be at the end of the book. I want more. So get your copy. You can do that at maxlucado.com. And while there, be sure and check out his daily devotional, podcast, and other resources that he has available. And you can follow Max on all social media platforms at Max Lucado. And you can follow me on Facebook and X at Dr. David Friedman. On Instagram, I'm at Dr. D. Friedman. If you heard something Max shared today that somebody you know needs to hear, send them a link to this podcast. It's available at toyourgoodhealthradio.com, and peruse our podcast library and share these segments of interest with friends, family, coworkers, and on social media. So much doom and gloom on social media. Spread some good stuff like this interview. Sharing is caring. Don't keep this info to yourself. And you can also subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. More to come. Stay tuned and tame those thoughts.